Good morning. I'm especially happy to be here with you this morning. I usually worship in the first service, so it's nice to get a chance to see some of you that I don't normally get to see on a Sunday morning. That being said, just let me add that if it weren't for God's grace, I would not even be here today. Jesus came and met me right where I was in the midst of my sin and offered me his grace and his forgiveness. And that was over 30 years ago, and there is still not a day that goes by that I am not painfully aware of my sinfulness and also equally humbled and grateful for his mercy and grace. Now, I'd just like to say that my difficult journey began last October when my oldest sister was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. It was already in the fourth stage. It had already metastasized to the lymph nodes and her liver, and there wasn't anything that she could do about it. I mean, she did the chemo, had the treatments and all, but there were no warning signs that this was coming. Then in January, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I probably wouldn't know that to this day if it wasn't for Robin Macy, who worships in the first service with me. And Robin had also just had a mastectomy. And I'd gone to her house to have lunch with her and come alongside her. And she told me, "You know, Marilyn, I almost didn't go back for that second mammogram because I felt fine." And she said, "I am so glad I did because they found the cancer." And I told her, you know, at that time, we didn't know that we had cancer in my family. And I said, "Well, Robin, we don't have it." I honestly, you guys, I felt like I was exempt. And so I never really worried about it. And Robin would not let me leave her house that day until I promised her I would go and get checked. So I did. I held my promise, and that mammogram led to a, we'll watch it, which led to another mammogram, which led to a sonogram, then a lumpectomy, and then a mastectomy, and then to chemo, and then to my new haircut, which hopefully I'll be able to wear until I don't have anything and I have to resort to my wig. And I'd like to say that I'm sure that I'm not the only one sitting in this room today that has received the diagnosis that they have the C word. So you know that when you do get that news, everything just goes numb. You just go through the motions. The doctor said, "Call your husband, call Rod, talk to him. You've got some decisions to make." And so we did. I went through those motions. And I got the news on a Thursday. And all weekend, then, we had to break the news to our kids. And we all said, "We'll fight this." And I agreed, "Yeah, we'll fight this." But honestly, deep down in my heart, I just wasn't sure that I was up for the battle. And I had to weigh in my heart, fight cancer, go see Jesus. And honestly, the go see Jesus was looking pretty good. So I did. I wrestled with it all weekend. And finally, Sunday morning in those twilight hours, just before you wake up, that seems to be the times when God can get through to me. That's before my own chatter starts at the start of the day, telling God all the things that I want and plan and want him to do for me. And the words that came to me were, "Choose life." And it dawned on me, you know, my life is God's gift to me. And what I do with my life is my gift back to him. And I had always said, the way I want to live my life is at the end, when I go see Jesus, I want to be able to run to him with tears of joy and fall at his feet just saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me." And if I didn't defend and try to fight for this life that he'd given me, this beautiful gift, I wasn't sure I would be able to look him in the eye. And so I made a decision right there in bed. I choose life. And I didn't just climb out of bed that Sunday morning. I sprang out of bed and I said, "I'm going to church, I'm going to worship my God, and I'm going to fight this battle." So then I would like to say that I had to break the news then to my coworkers. I had to break it to extended family, to my friend, my church family, you guys. And I honestly thought that the reaction I would get would be, okay, we'll fight this. But it's not. They cried. You cried with me. That was my first example of God's grace. Jesus does not stand there in the midst of our pain and just tell us to cowgirl up, buck up, get strong. He cries with us. He feels our pain, he loves us, and he cries with us. So then I had to, I have to say that through all of the my church family, you guys, I was just showered with so many prayers and cards and letters and gifts and love that I believe I was truly spared a lot of the pain and the fear that I normally would have experienced. And at one point in my life, I even thought, am I being cavalier because I'm not afraid? And my sister said, no, Marilyn. She says, you're just so surrounded by prayer. But one night in particular, I remember that the fear did actually set in. And once again, I wrestled all night. I started thinking about all the what ifs. What if we didn't catch it in time? What if it's spread through the lymph nodes and it's running rampant through my body? What if I have to have chemo and radiation? And what if I get sick? And what if I lose my hair? Eventually, I did fall asleep. And once again, in those twilight moments just before I wake up, the first thought that came to me was Peter when he walked on water. And I remembered that he did fine as long as he was focused on Jesus. It wasn't until he took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the situation that he began to sink. So I went to Scripture and I memorized and personalized the Scripture of, I will fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my life. And I carried that verse with me. In fact, I wrote all kinds of verses down. I had them tacked up all over my computer at work. I had them tacked up all over mirrors at home, on the refrigerator, anywhere I could go to see these things to keep my head screwed on straight. And I got to thinking about that, Jesus being the author and perfecter of my life, and I thought, yes, he is the author of my life, but perfecter? I have cancer. And then what came to me was in Malachi 3, verse 3, it says something about God sitting and watching the furnace, the fires, as he's refining the silver. And I asked Pastor David, because there was a story about that, and he found it for me. And it was these ladies had a Bible study on this, and they wondered what that meant exactly. So one of the ladies decided she would go to a silversmith. And she asked him, do you actually sit there and watch the fire? You actually keep your eyes on it? And he said, yes, I do. I have to. Because the temperature has to be just perfect. And if I don't leave it in there long enough, it doesn't cook out the impurities. But if I leave it in there too long, it weakens it. And I can't use it anymore. It's no longer pliable. It can't be formed, and it becomes useless. Satisfied with that example, she went to leave, and he said, oh, I almost forgot to tell you, I know that it's done, that it's ready, when I can see my reflection in it. And I love that story because it tells me that no matter what I'm going through, I know I'm not alone. God has his eye on me. He's watching me go through this furnace. He's watching me go through the trial. And he's cooking out the impurities. And one day, I don't know when, but he will see his reflection in me. And I thank God for that. I thank all of you for the love in your prayers and your gifts and all that you have given me. The times that you have reached out to me. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor David mentioned in his sermon, and it really stuck with me, that love that reaches up is worship. Love that reaches out is compassion. But love that reaches down is grace. And as you guys all reached out to me, it, in your compassion and in your love, you were still being used by God. You were God's tools to reach down to me in His grace. So I can look back on my life now and I can say, yes, I have cancer, but it's still just the little C. I have the big C, and we have the Word of God that tells us one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess on heaven, above heaven, and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even cancer will bow down to the Lord. It may take me, I don't know, but we all die from something. But I do know that Jesus said, don't fear what can take your life. Fear that can kill your soul. So thank you for loving me and for allowing me to love you back. And just praising the God that we have together for having us together as a church family. I thank you, and I love you all.